ब्रह्म मे तुमं मधुमे तुमं ब्रह्ममेव मधुमे तुमं ब्रह्ममेधया मधुमेधया ब्रह्ममेव मधुमेधया मधुवात्तारिताय ते मधुक्षरन्ति सिन्धवहं मध्वेन सन्तोषदेः मधुनक्तम् उतोषसि मधुमत् पार्थिवगुम्रजहं मधुदौरस्तु नः पीतं मधुमान्नो वनस्पतिर्मधुमगुमस्तु सूर्यं माद्विर्गाभो भवन्तु नम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। तैत्तिरीयारण्यक मे ब्रह्मन् बी रियलाइज्ड बाय अस, मे द हाइएस्ट ब्लिस बी रियलाइज्ड बाय अस, मे ब्रह्मन् हु इज द हाइएस्ट ब्लिस बी रियलाइज्ड बाय अस, मे वी रियलाइज ब्रह्मन् विद आवर प्यूरिफाइड अंडरस्टैंडिंग, मे वी रियलाइज द हाइएस्ट ब्लिस विद आवर प्यूरिफाइड अंडरस्टैंडिंग, मे वी रियलाइज ब्रह्मन् हु इज द हाइएस्ट ब्लिस विद आवर प्यूरिफाइड अंडरस्टैंडिंग, मे द विंड्स ब्रिंग अस हैप्पीनेस, मे द रिवर्स कैरी हैप्पीनेस टू अस, मे द अर्थ्स गिव अस हैप्पीनेस, मे नाइट एंड डे यील्ड अस हैप्पीनेस, मे द डस्ट ऑफ द अर्थ ब्रिंग अस हैप्पीनेस, मे द हेवेंस गिव अस हैप्पीनेस, मे द ट्रीज गिव अस हैप्पीनेस, मे द सन पोर डाउन हैप्पीनेस, मे काउज यील्ड अस हैप्पीनेस, ओम पीस पीस पीस। Brahman is infinite. Existence, consciousness, bliss, absolute, beyond comprehension, beyond human mind. How can we realize that Brahman who is beyond mind? That is the question. We experience bliss, happiness in our day-to-day life. The source of that bliss is Brahman. We experience consciousness. We are conscious about our surroundings, about our body, about our family. That consciousness comes from Brahman. We experience our existence, that also comes from Brahman. So, how can we realize this Brahman? Brahma Veda Brahma Iva Bhavati. The knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. Our true nature is infinite. But we limited that infinite nature through our body and mind, through name and form. So Vedanta will teach us how to transcend this name and form and experience our true nature, which is Brahman. That is all about Vedanta. This comes through spiritual understanding. By practicing spiritual disciplines, we experience our true nature. And when we experience our true nature, this world changes. Then we see Madhu, such sweetness, that Brahman is in the air, in the water, in the earth, in the trees, in the plants, in the cows, in the sun, in the dust of the earth. Everywhere there's Brahman, there's infinite, is saturated. When we experience it, we become one of Brahman. We become one with Brahman. So we come from Brahman and we return to Brahman. In between this, how we can make this world Brahman? That we are going to read tonight. How can we experience our true nature? So let us meditate on our true nature, that Brahman, our Atman, which is within us, beyond name, beyond form. Om. sahana bhavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhi tamastuma, vidveshavahai. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. May Brahman protect us, may he guide us, may he give us strength and right understanding. May love and harmony be with us all. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. Ma. Panchadoshi, chapter 6, verse 14. Name of the chapter, Chitra Deepa. Deep means light, light of consciousness, is explained through imagery, through picture. The author, Vidyarana Muni, is a great saint and a great teacher of Vedanta. He is trying to explain this Brahman consciousness so that we can comprehend this mystery of this Brahman. He is telling us, Ashupte Amrite Kalam Nayed Vedanta Chintaya. Till you go to sleep and till you die, think about Vedanta. Discriminate what is real, what is unreal. The unreal must go and the real must exist. Our reality, our true nature must be experienced and unreal nature should go. How to divide it, separate it? That is the question. How can we remove Maya, ignorance from us? A mumukkhu, jeev, the person who really wants to liberate himself, must discriminate. Verse 14. Paramatma avashesha opi tat saityatvani vinishaya na jagat vismritir no chet Jivan Mukti na sambhavet. The Supreme Self alone remains, also means a conviction about its reality and not non-perceiving of the world. Otherwise, there would be no such thing as liberation of life. Do you know what he is talking about? He is talking about in deep sleep the world disappears. When you are fainted, the world disappears. But that doesn't mean you are illumined. If that thing happens, he is talking about. Jivan Mukti. Liberation in life is not possible. But Swami, what is liberation in life? A person experienced Brahman, Atman, and then he lives in this world. He sees this world of variety, multiplicity, diversity that we see. But he sees Sarvam Khalu Idam Brahma, everything is Brahman. Everything is God consciousness. He sees God in everything. That is the difference between an ignorant person and an illumined person. An illumined person sees everything that same Brahman. Tiger, lion, bad people, good people, murderer, saint, all he sees same. He becomes same-sighted. He, as Sri Ramakrishna said, if you have jaundice, you see everything yellow. So this person sees everything God. Everybody is God. Tiger God, lion God, everybody is God. But Sri Ramakrishna said, have common sense. Everybody is God, that does not mean you will have to go and hug a tiger and lion. Maintain distance from those destructive people, anyhow. After illumination, world remains, but not as the world as we see. He sees all the problems and this and that. These are all maya, not real. That is the reason Vedanta again and again is trying to make us convinced this world is not real. If the world is not real, your problems are not real. But Swami, what to do? That is the reason I sometimes tell you. The unreal guru, everything is unreal in this world. The unreal guru, through unreal mantra, can remove the unreal ignorance of the unreal disciple. The unreal doctor removes the unreal disease through unreal medicine of the unreal patient. All are unreal. But through unreal, you can destroy the unreal. That we are going to talk. Vidya Maya, Avidya Maya. Both are Maya. But we can knock out the bad Maya through good Maya. That we are going to adopt in our life. How to do it? We have bad tendencies, we have good tendencies. Both are tendencies. So we'll have to knock out the bad tendencies through good tendencies. That we are going to discuss. Jivan Mukti. Jivan Mukti is the goal of human life. As we reach, I think it is, some people say it is Shankara, but it is Gyano Shankaluni Tantra, which is mentioned. Jivan Mukti Sukha Prapti Hetave Janmadharitam Atmana Nitya Mukti Na Natu Sangsaru Kammaya. Why are you born in this world? Why? What for? To get the taste of Jivan Mukti. I am free. I am free. This experience we should have. No, otherwise, our Atman is ever free or ever perfect, ever free. It has no other purpose to take a human body and suffer and all these aches and pains and problems. We want to experience Jivan Mukti. That is our goal. Freedom while living in this world. Paramatma, the Supreme Self, Brahman, remains. We should have that deep faith and conviction. This world must disappear from our minds. Next verse. परोक्षो च अपरोक्षे च अपरोक्षेति विद्या देधा विचारजा तत् अपरोक्ष विद्या विद्याप्तो विचारो वयम समीप समाप्यते. The knowledge arising from discrimination is of two kinds, indirect and direct. This process of discrimination ends in the achievement of the direct knowledge. Vichar, discrimination. Through discrimination, we get two kinds of knowledge. Direct knowledge, indirect knowledge. Indirect knowledge, we learn from our guru, from the scriptures, from other teachers. God exists, one can realize God, this world, this kind of knowledge. And parokshogyan, that is a paroksho. Aparokshogyan, direct knowledge, I am the Atman. Experience of that indirect knowledge. Brahman exists, that is indirect. I am Brahman, that is direct. Upanishad tells us, parokshogyan, aparokshogyan. In school, we read about England, English people, English history. When we are young, we know so many things about England and the English people. But we have never gone to England. We never met any English people. Just from the books, we learned everything about England. That is indirect knowledge. But perhaps I have gone to England and lived in England, I got education in England, I met many English people, and I know English temperament, climate, everything I know about England. That is direct knowledge. Direct knowledge, indirect knowledge. When you have the direct knowledge, at that time, no more discrimination. You are not to discriminate anymore. No more spiritual disciplines. You remember when Sri Ramakrishna was meditating in the evening. So A.M. went there, that is the first time. And A.M. said, "Sir, I'm sorry, I'm disturbing your meditation. Shall I go?" "No, no, 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 sit down. Sit down. Let me talk to you. You have come to see me." Then he sang that song on another occasion. Trishanda je bale kali puja shanda sheki chai. Shanda tar shanda ne fere kobushandi nai pai. The person who is repeating the mother's name day and night, he does not need to sit for meditation in the morning and evening. All the time he is thinking about God. So he is not bound to any rules and regulations, you see. That Sri Ramakrishna said. But till you attain that state, you must discriminate. You must follow your routine and the injunctions of the scripture and the advice of the guru. Paroksha, aparoksha. So you know now what is paroksha knowledge and aparoksha. Direct knowledge, indirect knowledge. Indirect knowledge comes from books and from teachers. And direct knowledge comes by yourself. You read, you saw milk. You read about milk. You know everything, the nutrition of the milk, everything you know. But you have never drunk milk. So, when you drink milk, you get nutrition, you get strength, and that is called direct knowledge. Gyan, vigyan. Ordinary knowledge and vishesh, special knowledge. So we need a special knowledge about Brahman, about God. We need direct experience. As Sri Ramakrishna used to say, what can Guru do? Guru will cook food for you. But Guru cannot eat for you. You will have to use your hands and mouth to enjoy that food. That is the way it works. And if you do not eat, you will suffer from hunger. Osti brahmeti ched veda paraksha gyanameva tat aham brahmeti ched veda sakshatkaro sa uchyate. Beautiful. These two Vidyarana Muni defended his statement quoting from the scriptures. Look what Taittiriya Upanishad says. Osti brahmeti ched veda santamenam tato viduriti. That is the Taittiriya Upanishad. He who knows or believes that Brahman exists, he gets that kind of ideas and moves that God exists, God exists, God exists. He became a theist. He believes in God, but he has not experienced. Then he quoted from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Tadatmanam eva enam tadatmanam eva aveda aham brahmasmiti tasmat tat sarvam avabat. I am that Brahman. Those who knows Brahman in that way, he becomes Brahman, he becomes one with Brahman. So one only believes, another becomes Brahman. You see, believing and becoming, there is a difference. I believe God exists, but I have not seen God, I have not realized God. And the person says, yes, God exists, and I have seen him, I realized him. That is the difference between paraksha and aparaksha, direct and indirect. That is called shakshatkara, direct experience. What happens? Direct experience? We become free forever. Free from desire, free from doubt, free from bondage, free from everything. This freedom is our true nature. But we feel we are bound, we have all kinds of problems. In Katha Upanishad there is a mantra, Ostiti Upalabdhibhyo Tattva Bhavena Chauvayu. Ostiti Upalabdhesya Tattva Bhava Prasidati. In the very beginning, you are a beginner. Ostiti Upalabdhibhyo. First, gradually realize God exists. Have faith in your guru. Have faith in the scripture. Practice, practice, practice. And through this practice, you start with Shupadi, God with attributes, with forms. Start your journey with God with form. Then Tattva. Then you will know the absolute truth, that Brahman. Your mind slowly, slowly will go to that direction, that non-dual Brahman. Tattva bhava prasidati. Then the truth will manifest within you. First you will have to make a journey, holding God with form. Next mantra also is very, very beautiful. Yada sarve pramuchyante kamaya saridhi spita atha martu amritu bhavati atra brahma samushnute. There's a beautiful verse of the Katha Upanishad, Yama Setu Nachiketa. Yata sarve pramuchyante kamaya asya ridhistha. From your heart, all desires disappear. All desires disappear. Then what happens? Immediately Brahman will manifest. All desires are gone means your ignorance is gone. And then Brahman manifests. Then what happens? Martto amrito bhavati, the mortal becomes immortal. Atra brahma samushnute, from this very birth he will merge into Brahman. No more coming and going. He is talking about that if I have the knowledge of Brahman, what will happen to me? This will happen. No more coming and going. Because they have no desire. It is the desire who brings us back again and again. And that desire comes from ignorance. Now we are going to talk about the Atman. What is this Atman? Jeev, individual soul, and kutastho, the consciousness which is connected to the individual soul. What is this phenomenon in human system? Tat shakshatkaro siddhartham atmatattam vivichyati jenayam sarva samsarat sadyevo vimuchyati. Verse 17. We now consider the nature of the self with a view to having its direct experience through which the jiva is immediately liberated from all worldly fetters. There's a beautiful line. Sarva saṃsārāt saiddevo pramuchyate. Acquire completely free, liberated from this world. Tat shakshatkaro siddhartam. When you have this experience of the Atman, then this world will leave for you from forever. Very mysterious this phenomenon. Atma. Vidyarana Muni, the author, is now trying to explain the Atman, which is within you. Where is it, this Atman? What is that Atman? Kutastho brahmo jivi isha iti evam chatur chit chatur vidha gatakasho mahakasho jalakasho abrakhi yatha. The self as consciousness, absolute, is spoken of as the kutastho, Brahman, jiva, and Ishvara. Just as, for instance, akasha, ether, is called pat akasha, all-embracing akasha, akasha conditioned by water, and akasha conditioned by a cloud. He is going to give an analogy. Let me explain. You will understand what it means. Here is a jar. Empty jar. Empty earthen jar. What do you see? I see a jar. And inside the jar, what do you see? Space. Empty space. These two things you see. A jar and a space. If you break the jar, it becomes one with the space. Again, bring a jar, again jar and the space. That is called escucho hasta Chaitanya. I shall explain what is escucho hasta Chaitanya. Now, second step. You fill up the jar with water. What do you see? Water and jar. But the space is always there. The water occupies the space, but space and water are together inside the jar. First ghatakash, and then mahakash. First kuchastha chaitanya, mahakash means cosmic consciousness, Brahma Chaitanya. So ghatakash, the only space within the jar is ghatakash, pot space. And with water and the space together in the jar is called Brahma, is a Brahma Chaitanya. He is dividing consciousness in four groups so that you can understand what is Atman. Then on that water, you can see at night time some star or moon in that water, on the jar. That is called Jiva Chaitanya, individual consciousness. Only water, Brahma Chaitanya. And over the water, you will find Jiva Chaitanya. And then you can see the cloud in the space, akasha. Akasha means the space. In the space you see cloud. Sometimes we can see that cloud is full of water. But it will bring a downpour very soon. And that space reflects in that cloud covered with water. That is called Meghakash. Meg means cloud. Meghakash. So he divided Akasha in four groups. First, Ghatakash, empty space, Jalakash, water and space together. Then Mahakash, then Jalakash, that on the water there is a star or moon or something, we can see the reflection. And then Meghakash, not in the space, that in the cloud before it rain comes, that space reflects on the cloud and shows some kind of water particles, you know, there. But now the question you are asking, Swami, why are you dividing all these things? Just to explain, consciousness is one, but how we divide the consciousness? Akash. He is making a little bit more clear. Gatabat chinya khe niramjat tatra potibimbita sabra nakshatra akasho jalakasho udirjati. 19. The sky with clouds and the stars reflected in water contained in a pot which encloses space is known as akasha in water. A jar filled with water encloses some space and therefore contains it. When placed outside, it reflects the sky above the cloud, above and clouds and stars. This reflection is called Jalakasha. Next, Mahakashasya Madhi Jan Megamanjalam Ikshati Pratibimbataya Tatra Megakasho Jale Sthita. The sky reflected in water particles forming a cloud suspended in space is known as Akasha in a cloud. Let me read this thing, then I shall explain. Meghangsho, meghangsho rupam udakam tusharakara sangsthitam tatra khapratibimbo vayam nirattad unumiyati. As a cloud is composed of a water in a particular state, it is therefore reasonable to assume the existence of a reflection of Akasha in a cloud. So, Vidyaranya Muni, the author, explained to us, look, try to imagine four kinds of Akasha, space. First, Ghata Akasha, pot, water jar and Akasha, space. Then Jala Akasha, jar, water and the space. Then Jalakasha, then Jalakasha, Mahakasha, Akasha, Ghatakasha, then Mahakasha, then Jalakasha. Jalakasha means that the star and moon reflected in the water. And then fourth is Meghakasha, that on the cloud when the sun reflects. Now, Swami, what is the jifar? Do you know what is in his mind? He is connecting our jifar in the stages. Look at the first stage. You have a body, two bodies. Guru's body, that is this body with flesh and bone. That is the ghata, that is the jar. Correct? Well, yes, sir. Because this is limiting the infinite, this jar. Then Jalakasha. The Jalakasha is the Kuchastha Chaitanya. No, no, Jalakasha. Sthula Dakshini Kasha Vartamana Istvati Jiva Shakya. Kuchastha Sharup. 22. The consciousness which is conditioned by the gross and subtle bodies on which they are superimposed and which knows no change is known as Kuchastha. Kuchastha literally means the immovable, the immutable, that which remains like the unchanging fixed iron piece, anvil, on which the blacksmith does all his work. Or it means the top of a mountain which remains unchanged and undisturbed. Or some say that Kuta means the changeable world in which the unchangeable remains. It is that part of the absolute consciousness on which the individual personality is superimposed. Let me tell you how I understand Kuchastha. Kuchastha means anvil. On that anvil, the hammer, the blacksmith hits with the hammer and gives shape to his red hot iron any ways he likes. But the anvil never complains. He experiences the terrible fire, heat, and strike, and all these things. That anvil remains immovable, unperturbed, undisturbed. That Sadhana, this Vidyaranya Muni wants to tell us, that your Atman, which is within you, is undisturbed, unperturbed, your aches and pains, your family, your poverty, your bad time, good time, all these problems, it never perturbs. All these things you are experiencing in the body, physical body and the subtle body. But Atman, which is reflects in your Atman, in your Buddhi, that remains undisturbed. That is your true nature. That he wants to tell us. That why he was talking about Meghakasha, all these things. He wants to tell you this Kuchastha. You are that Kucha. You are that Atman. That individual consciousness is reflecting in this mind. And that individual consciousness, actually the cosmic consciousness. You are one with conscious consciousness. As I said, that when the jar is broken, that little space becomes one with the cosmic space. So when I destroy your body, or when I destroy my body, it becomes one with the infinite consciousness. That he wants to say. Individual and cosmic. Kutaste kalpita buddhi tatra chit pratibimbaka prananam dharanat jivaha saṃsarena sa yujyati. Of the kutastha is superimposed by imagination, the intellect, buddhi. The reflection of kutastha is the intellect is animated by vitality and is called the jiva, which is subject to transmigration. Some take buddhi in this context to mean primal nations. The doctrine of transmigration is based on the eternity of consciousness. As consciousness can neither originate nor end, so its existence throughout the past must be conceived as repeated embodiment like the present birth. Now look how what he was talking about. Who transmigrate from this body to body? It is all jivatma, individual soul. Consciousness associated with buddhi, with subtle body. That jiva reincarnates, transmigrates, come again and again, birth and death, unending. Vedanta says, I want to give you liberation so that you will not have to come back again and suffer in this human body and with all these problems. The moment you experience this Atman, thus you are free. Prananam dharanat jiva. The reflection of kuchastha is animated by the vitality. Do you know how does animate the vitality? Listen to a story. One day there was a fight among the sense organs that who is the greatest in the body. The eyes said, we are the greatest. All right, take 1 year vacation. Go. Leave the body. So the eyes left. After 1 year, they came back. Hey, how are you doing? We're fine. How did you live without us? Like a blind man. So the eyes came back. Then the ears took 1 year vacation. Came back and said, hey, how did you do? How did you survive without us? Oh, it's just like a deaf person, we lived in the body, fine. Then speech also took 1 year vacation, came back and asked, hi, how are you doing? Oh, just like a dumb person, we lived, we're fine. So all sense organs took 1 year leave and came back and found the body is still intact, fine. No problem at all. Then the prana, the vital force, wants to take 1 year vacation. Then all sense organs collapsed. They say, no, 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 don't leave the body, we'll all die. Please stay in the body. So they praised, they eulogized the Mukha Prana. This is a story in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. You are the greatest. The Mukha Prana, vitality, energy. Amazing. But that energy, that prana, comes from the Atman. Without Atman, prana also cannot function. It is the consciousness within us that is animating of this whole body. If you read the first mantra of the Keno Upanishad, Om Kineshitam Patati Preishitam Mana Krana Kena Prana Pratama Praiti Yukta Kineshitam Vachamimam Vadanti Chakshusrotram Kayu Deva Junakti. The first mantra of the Keno Upanishad tells us, the disciple is asking the guru, how does the mind function? How does the speech function? How does the ear, nose, eyes, all these sense organs function? Who is behind all these activities? Consciousness. It is the consciousness. That consciousness is the Atman. That consciousness is our true nature. How can we experience it? That is the question. That we shall learn. Here is the pot, jar, space. Space is everywhere, that cosmic consciousness. Water, that is your body. Your body is the jar, earthen jar. Well, put it back. We are almost end. So the water and the space that is reflecting in the water, that is, they call it Chidabhas, reflected consciousness. That is Jiva. That is the individual soul. Chidabhas means this Atman, this consciousness reflects on the Buddhi. When it reflects on the Buddhi, do you know what happens? Anunyadhas. It goes there and it goes here. It is just like when you stand in front of a mirror. What happens? Reflection. Bimbo, Pratibimbo. This is your original face. And that is the reflected face. So they reflect each other. Atma and my Buddhi, they reflect each other. So do you know what happens at that time? You are thinking, oh, I am knee pain. Oh, I have so much problems. So these physical things you are superimposing on the Atman. And the Atman also is thinking, oh, I am miserable. Oh, I have pain. This body pain is superimposed on the Atman, and the Atman is feeling what is in the Buddhi, body's things, he is identifying himself with the Buddhi. That identification will have to cut. That is called vichar. I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the senses. That one is very difficult. How can I have a divorce from the body? I am the Atman. How can I separate this body consciousness and my pure consciousness? That is the thing is Sadananda Yogindra in the very beginning is talking about vichar, discriminate. I am the Atman is, he told Atman what is the true nature of the Atman. Esho atma apahata bapma bijaru bimrittu vishoka vijigitsa apipasa satyakama satyasankalpa. That is the nature of the Atman. Apahata bapma, it is sinless. There is no ignorance there. Bijaru, no jara, no old age, no physical pain. Bijaru, bimrittu, deathless. Vishoka, griefless. No grief in the Atman. Vijigitsa, hungerless, no hunger. Apipaso, no desire for thirst, free from thirst. Satyakamo, truth. Satyasankalpa, his resolution is truth. That is the nature of the Atman. Asirjo, agrijo nai grijjati, asirjo nai shijjati, asango nai sajjati, asito na vyatate na rishyati. In the Brihadaranya Upanishad, they are talking about the Atman. Do you know what is that Atman? Agrijo nai grijjati. Atman It cannot be grasped because it is never an object. Asango nai sajjati, it is completely unattached. Asito na vyatate na rishati, it is never subject to pain or misery because it is the Atman. Free from all these things. Vijaru, vimrittu, vishuka. Saijo mahanaja atma. Those definitions of the Atman in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, so beautiful, so poetic. Anyhow, we'll have to think about this Atman again and again. So we finished up to 22, up to this tonight. Uguma satoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotir gamaya, mrittorma amritam gamaya, abirabirma edi, rudra jate dokshinamukam, tinamam pahi nityam, om shanti, shanti, shanti. Lead us from the unreal to the real, lead us from darkness to light, lead us from death to immortality, light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace be unto all.